Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
And as more and more COVID restrictions ease, the CMO Tony Holohan is warning that the Delta variant still poses a substantial threat. But the World Health Organization says it's monitoring a new coronavirus variant known as Mu, first identified in Colombia in January. Well, I'm joined now by Professor Sam McConkie, who's infectious disease specialist at the Royal College of Surgeons. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Claire.
What can you tell us about this variant of interest?
So, Claire, I feel that there are lots and lots of variants out there. This virus doesn't just keep the same genetic sequence. Every few weeks it develops changes in its RNA genome, and each one, when you sequence it, could be considered a variant. If that variant seems to be spreading a lot, as this one did in Colombia, then it's one to watch. It's a bit like watching a horse, giving a tip for a horse at a horse race, saying this one might be, in that case, of course, the horse race a winner, but for us as humans suffering from SARS-2, it would be a loser if it were to spread widely in vaccinated people, and if it were to cause a lot of disease and death in vaccinated people. That's the variant that we don't want to see or hear about. So this is very much just WHO saying we're keeping an eye on this. Unfortunately, in Ireland, the NVRL sequenced lots of the viruses that they're detecting and keep an eye on it for us in Ireland. And at European level, a group led by Professor Maura Connolly from Galway is also looking at how we can prepare for future variants and even other pandemics that are not SARS-CoV-2. The WHO, as you've just described, are also saying, what are we keeping an eye on? So I wouldn't encourage your listeners to be panicking about this. This is just something that the WHO are quite rightly watching. I'm reassured by the fact that we have systems at world level and national level and European level that are watching these things. And that's the name they've given to this one that they're watching at present.
So is it the case that we don't know yet whether this one is vaccine resistant, whether it spreads more easily, whether it is causing greater illness? We don't know any of those things yet, or do we?
So it's got some variations in the genome, the RNA, and in the protein that codes this famous spike protein that we've all heard of, which is the antibodies that are generated by the vaccine attack the spike protein, and that's how they mediate their power. So if this variant has changes in the spike protein at the important binding sites, which it seems to have, then it might be associated with more transmission in vaccinated people. But you've kind of, that's more of a hypothetical, theoretical argument. You've got to look on the ground in real people. Did it really transmit more in vaccinated people? And it seems to have spread a lot in Colombia and in one other South American country, Ecuador, but it hasn't spread around the world very much. So it doesn't appear to me at this stage that this is one we need to be worried about in Ireland or Europe or the world in general. Why it's spread more in Colombia, I don't know. It's about 40% of the cases in Colombia. Whereas in Ireland, almost all of our cases now have been this Delta variant that, you know, was first found back in January and has really taken over. Most of the SARS-CoV-2 in Europe now is Delta variant, which, as we know, spreads more widely than the Alpha variant.
And the vaccine scientists and engineers, they're constantly working, aren't they, to deal with mutations?
Exactly. So as soon as, BioNTech, the company that made the first RNA vaccines that Pfizer have developed and spread around the world, as soon as they're seeing a new variant, they will be starting to make a vaccine and create the RNA vaccines, the messenger RNA vaccines that will counteract that new strain. So it may be that the booster, I think we will end up all needing the booster, Claire, I'm not sure when, but sometime in the future. And that booster might be tweaked slightly. So it might be a booster against the new strains that are coming rather than against the old strains. That's how it works with influenza every year. The influenza vaccine that's given every year is slightly different from the ones before based on what we think is coming. So the vaccine companies will be, and I'm confident they are, developing prototype batch lots and the ingredients that they need to make new variants of vaccine that are able to counter, hopefully effectively, against these new strains.
And I read in the paper today you're a bit concerned about the flu this year.
Well, in a way, I did that interview with Ailish, and I was really saying that hopefully SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19 is something we're getting over, I'm hoping. But there are other health problems, whether it's anxiety or obesity or influenza. Influenza is a particular worry in this Christmas. The reason is because we had very little of it last year, and when there's a light year one year, the following subsequent year tends to be a very heavy year with a lot of influenza. So I would encourage everyone to go out and get their influenza vaccine whenever it comes in a few weeks. Indeed, those small number of 10% of people who haven't got COVID-19 vaccine, I'd strongly encourage them to get it too. Many are not really philosophically opposed to it. They're more just haven't got round to it yet. So I would really encourage, offer our neighbours transport to vaccine centre and whatever it takes to help us just to get the numbers up as much as possible of COVID-19 vaccine and influenza will help to protect us. If we get influenza in the hospitals as well as COVID-19, so don't forget there's still 60 people in ICU ward and 300 cases in hospital. If you were to get similar numbers with flu, that would be a lot of overcrowding, mm-hmm. and the ERs would be full, the X-ray would be full, the oxygen levels would be struggling. So we really need to try and do our best to keep us all healthy.
Okay, we should say that was Ailish O'Regan in the Irish Independent you were talking to about the flu. Are you treating COVID patients at the moment?
Yes, there are patients in the hospital with COVID. Some of whom are very sick, and many of whom are unvaccinated, and unfortunately some who are pregnant.
Still a very difficult situation. And then how do you feel overall about these plans announced by government yesterday, whereby on the 22nd of October we will see all of the restrictions, just about all, some face mask requirements will still be in place, but most of them being lifted at that point?
I'm very pleased that we're making this step today for opening public transport and gradually opening live music, entertainment in a graded, gradualistic way with restrictions on people wearing masks in retail, wearing masks in hospitality and wearing masks in hospitals and public transport. So I think this cautious ongoing reopening is, in my view, the right way for our government to lead us. Now, who knows where the world will be on the 22nd of October? That's too far away, in my view, to predict. But I'm very pleased that with our Taoiseach's announcement yesterday and this step in what I believe is the right direction.
Sam, thank you very much for taking our call. Professor Sam McConkie there. We'll be talking to Noel Byrne from the Environmental Protection Agency about creatures believed to be small eels found in a drinking water supply in County Carlow. That's next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.